This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury and today I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Braj.
And...
And Arvind Braj.
There we go. It's two of him today. Yesterday was two of Frida. Today it's two of him.
Yeah.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. If you want to get us on Twitter or on Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Today we are talking about, in honor of the 106th anniversary of the Titanic's maiden voyage, we're taking a look at what Nadia Jekshambieva, our author, educator, and business owner, has termed the Titanic syndrome.
You and your business will have to face more change, more disruption, more crisis than ever before. If you look at the original Fortune 500 list that was established in 1955, today 89% of those titans of business are gone. Titanic syndrome is a corporate disease where companies, organizations, communities, and countries bring about their own downfall through arrogance, excessive attachment to the past, or simple inability to recognize the new and emerging world. More often than ever before, today, the mighty titans of business are following the exact path of the Titanic.
Well, she paints a happy picture for the day, right?
Full of glee.
Full of glee.
Yeah.
So our topic of discussion today obviously is that. Our question for you guys is, what companies do you know of that have gone the same way as the Titanic? That's our discussion for today. So what we're leading with, we'll then be talking about how that Titanic syndrome has appeared here in Malaysia. So we'll be looking at a few companies that it has affected. Then story number three, whatever happened to BlackBerry? Will be our topic of discussion, wrapping up with what marketers can learn from the Titanic. So, Titanic syndrome, why companies sink and how to reinvent your way out of any business disaster. It was considered unsinkable, of course, equipped with the most advanced naval technology available at the time, as well as a crew of experienced and respected naval leaders. So why did it sink? What lessons can it offer to the businesses of today? Interesting, when you look at through some of the things that caused the sinking of it, they're saying it wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just the fact that it hit a you know, an iceberg and sank and whatever. But if you look at it in terms of businesses and the idea of it being an event cascade, so the ship, we know, was moving too fast. The people were not paying attention to warning signs. There were no binoculars for the lookouts. There were cheap rivets that was pinning the ship together. It made a potential, arguably, a wrong turn. There was cost-cutting and not enough lifeboats. Yeah. So if we look at that in terms of business, too fast, too much expansion too quickly. Not paying attention to the warning signs, fairly obvious. No binoculars, not looking forward with your business. Cheap rivets. Cost-cutting and, of course, not looking at how well-built your back-end is, if it's software. Taking a wrong turn, maybe you pivoted incorrectly. Cost-cutting is fairly obvious, and not having enough lifeboats is clearly a lack of a plan B should you need to get out
of stuff. Safety, no security.
No safety, yeah. You know. So businesses can learn an awful lot of this kind of stuff from just one incident, right?
Yeah.
And it changed the way in which ships were built, ships were launched, all kinds of stuff. And if we look at companies that did suffer from Titanic syndrome, and we can look at stuff internationally first, we'll look at a company, a big company, Kodak, staple of American culture throughout the 20th century, selling at 1.90% of all photographic film, 85% of all cameras in the US. They filed for bankruptcy back in 2012. You know, this was a company that any photo store you walked into, walls were covered with their products. You know, everything was Kodak at the time.
And it also had the Kodak moment.
The Kodak moment. It was a big thing, right? And then we just heard on an advert just a few moments ago that that ringtone that it defines a generation. Nokia, you know, they've been number one cell phone seller from 1998 to 2007, controlling at its prime 40% of the entire global handset market, forced to sell its mobile device business to Microsoft in 2013 to save itself from collapse. And now we're only just starting to see them come back onto the market.
Yeah. I think the saddest part about Nokia is that, not Nokia, Kodak is that they had the idea to sort of carry them into the future. They sort of invented, the digital camera before the digital camera came out.
Yeah.
The only problem with them was they didn't want to release the digital camera because they were afraid it would eat into their other business.
There you go, you see.
Yeah. And then they became, Titanic syndrome again.
Yeah.
There's also Blockbuster. I think they are the prime example of Titanic syndrome because they had 60,000 employees at one time in 2004, not too long ago. It had 9,000 stores. And then Dish Network bought the bankrupt Blockbuster in 2011 with only 1,700 stores.
Wow.
Yeah. But the main story there is that Reed Hastings, CEO of Netflix, he came and met with the guys at Blockbuster at one time, and he said that he wanted to merge companies. He wanted Blockbuster to sort of buy Netflix, and he said Netflix would sort of manage Blockbuster's brand online. So they would take over like the online front. He got laughed out of the meeting room. So that's the famous. They were like, Netflix would never fly and Blockbuster would be forever. And today, I think the second last Blockbuster was closed down last month in Australia.
So there's
or something.
Only one left.
There's
right?
one left. There's one left in the US.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of, when you look at that one store that is left, the argument is, why is it there? You know, is it just because it's like this nostalgic thing to look back upon, and how many people still use it? Or is it just because it's almost become a meme now? You know, oh, there's one Blockbuster left.
Like a museum.
Like a museum.
Yeah. Like just a part, like a relic from 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
That's what we're talking about, folks. Titanic syndrome, why companies sink and how to reinvent your way out of any business disaster. We're asking you, what companies do you know of that have gone the same way as the Titanic? Give us some feedback on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. We've got some tweets. We'll talk about those in just a few minutes, but we're going to take a short music break. Against Me, High Pressure Low, here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj.
We will be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And if you'd like to get in touch, get us on 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. On Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Now, our topic of discussion today is about Titanic syndrome, why companies sink and how to reinvent your way out of any business disaster. Our question for you guys was all about, do you know of any other companies that have gone the same way as the Titanic? A couple of ones that we mentioned, internationally were Kodak, Nokia was another one, Blockbuster was another one, and over onto Twitter, Jagged Edge also mentioned that Kodak or Nokia seemed like a Titanic case study. Indeed, they were.
Yeah.
Blockbuster, of course, was another one. Now, we're moving on to part two of this, where we look at some of the local-based businesses. And I know Christine did some digging and found some stuff for this, and Arvind has also been doing a little bit of digging. And what did you find so far?
Yeah, so one of it, I mean, the most interesting one must be Mega TV. Were you familiar with Mega TV?
No.
Yeah, so Mega TV came out in 1995, and it was sort of like the first cable network for Malaysians. It came out way before Astro. So what happened was they used to have these set-top boxes, and people would subscribe to them. I think it was by Media Prima, if not mistaken. They began operations on 18th of October 1995. Its first transmission was on the 1st of November 1995. And then what happened was they began facing stiff competition from Astro, and Mega TV had 5 channels while Astro had 22 channels when it began. And as a result of the competition and also its failure to expand, Mega TV ended transmission in 2001. The thing is, I didn't know that Mega TV was active up to 2001.
You thought they were just what? You
know? I thought they disappeared within like 2 or 3 years.
Ah.
Yeah, because when they first came out, I remember that like my aunt's house and my grandparents' place, they had like Mega TV and stuff.
Was it a set-top box then?
It was a set-top box, like a small set-top box. If also, I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I also know that they started to pirate those boxes.
Oh.
It was easy to get past their security mechanism and stuff. So they started selling these like knockoff boxes in Petaling Street and all sorts of other places. So there was no way for them to sort of safeguard that. And then when Astro came out, Astro had 22 channels versus the 5 channels that Mega TV had at first. So almost immediately, Astro became more popular. I remember that we got Astro within its first few months of release. So that's the competition was, you know, there was like no question. So TV almost
5 versus 22 channels. Where are you going to go?
Versus 22. And Astro had this way of sort of like targeting every demographic. There was something for everyone in the family. More languages as well. So, you know, it immediately immediately succumb to Titanic syndrome.
See, and that's interesting because when satellite became very popular in the UK, late 80s, early 90s, it was Sky TV, of course. They were the big players back then. And you had a set-top box, similar kind of thing. You then had to subscribe and you were given a card like Astro that you'd insert into your set-top box, which would then decode the signal from the satellite and you'd be able to watch it and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was okay. And you could do it on a month-by-month subscription at that time. It wasn't a yearly subscription or a two-yearly subscription. Mm-hmm. So what people would do, of course, is they subscribe for 1 month, they pay for the installation of the satellite dishes and whatever, and then they would find a way of getting that card cloned. Mm-hmm. You know, and those cloned cards would last for anything for up to sometimes up to 6, 7, 8 months. You know,
yeah.
And for the time, in many ways, that was a way for, and it's the idea of piracy sometimes pushes forward, you know, technology and the consumption of something. So people were kind of signing on for a month, getting these cards, staying on, then it would be blocked, and then the technology kind of improved, of course, and you can't use those cards anymore. And by that point, you're so enveloped by the content that you do whatever you can to watch that content. So, of course, you subscribe, and it was then they went, okay, let's do the one-year subscription plans.
Hmm.
Kind of smart in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think if they sort of like let the security...
Exactly.
You know, were a bit lax with the security at first, so more people would get the card. I mean, this is like conspiracy theory and like...
But
you know,
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Also, there was also the case of True Fitness. I think everybody remembers True Fitness. They were huge here locally. They stopped operations in June 2017 with the closure of 3 branches a day after abruptly closing shop in Thailand. So they had, it was this complicated like agreement they had with a Hong Kong listed company called Tongfang Conta Pharma. And they had to like sort of close all the they have to stop operations. If not, the founder would have to bear all franchise fees in accordance with the terms of franchise agreement. So it was basically...
Wow.
Yeah, it was a way of sort of saving money in the long run. I think it was, you know, a matter of keep operations running and then have to pay all the fees or close everything down and cut your losses.
Now, one that came up on this list, and we're kind of unsure about this one, is Deli France, right? Because... you know, once the go-to place for Malaysians to get their pastry and their sandwich fix, opened in 1990. Now, have all outlets ceased to exist? The website is no longer up and running. Previously known as Deli France Bistro, then changed to Deli France after a rebranding. After failed rebranding, outlets in popular malls like Mid Valley, Wanatama, and other locations seem to no longer exist. The last post on their Facebook page was in 2015. Interesting that maybe they failed to compete with some of the more trendy outlets that have popped up. But you were saying that you think you've seen one in the wild recently.
Yeah, so we were talking just before we came on air, and then Audrey said that she saw one in Sungai Wang. She thinks there's one left in Sungai Wang Plaza.
Kind of like a Blockbuster, just out there all by its lonesome.
Just one running autonomously on its own. I don't know, but I would like to know if anyone has seen a Deli France anywhere in KL, outside KL. We'd like to know, just messages or something, because it'll be interesting to see if they are running outside. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them for a long time. The same thing happened to Swensons. So Swensons used to be an ice cream chain that we used to have way before Baskin-Robbins, way before all the Häagen-Dazs stuff, way before Inside Scoop stuff like that. There used to be Swensons and they used to be very, very popular. Mm. They disappeared for a while, then they popped up in Mid-Valley again, I think, and then they disappeared again. And now, if I'm not mistaken, I saw one branch and I can't remember where. I think it's SS15.
You know, it's funny because how long ago was it that we were looking at, or talking about rather, in Bangsar, there's a particular banana leaf restaurant, that a viral video, we all seen it. Raj's Banana Leaf, of course. Now, they disappeared for a while. I mean, they're not in any way, shape or form a Titanic, but let's just say they're kind of like a lifeboat floating along, right? So, of course, they closed down as Raj's Banana Leaf, rebranded as RBL Banana Leaf, Raj's Banana Leaf, Banana Leaf, you know, which seems a bit odd.
Yeah.
But now they've also closed down again, but it seems as though they are slightly rebranding, a la changing their name, before they open again. So that's... Mm. You know, it's the idea. Creativity is the name of the game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And there are companies like that. That sort of like they suffer, then they sort of, you know, they disappear, then they come back again. A&W was one of them.
I was going to mention that. The one that we hear is always going to close down, but never does.
Never does.
Where is that one?
The one in PJ, opposite AmCop Mall.
Ah, yeah.
So they've been there.
That's the famous one, right?
That's the famous one. This is the very famous one that everyone knows about. So A&W was very popular at one time, and then they became unpopular. And then the one in PJ was like a fan favorite. Like everyone used to go there for nostalgia purposes and stuff. And now A&W seems to be popping up everywhere. There's an A&W on like every street. There's one in Tamantun. There's another one in Banda Utama, if not mistaken. There's a couple near where I stay. And I don't know how that's happening. Right. I don't know how they've suddenly like popped up, but A&W is suddenly popular again.
And this is the thing, you know, when I encountered what we call root beer, what is now known here as sarsaparilla I believe, they used to serve that in McDonald's back home, you know, and that was a huge thing back home because it was the one place in the UK you could buy root beer. They didn't sell it in the supermarket back then. And so, you know, McDonald's did very, very well. And then when I moved here and I'm seeing A&W all over the place, I'm like, oh my word, you know, this is like, because I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's Titanic syndrome, folks. Why companies sink and how to reinvent your way out of any business disaster. If we look at things on a business level, you know, the ship was going too fast. They expanded too fast. If you're a business, not paying attention to the warning signs, you're being told there's icebergs all around you, maybe you should do something about it and alter your course, but you don't. You've got no binoculars, means you're not looking ahead and seeing what's happening. Cheap rivets, watch that back end, make sure it's built properly. Don't make a bad pivot or a wrong turn in this context.
Don't take shortcuts.
That involves cost cutting, of course. If you use cheap rivets, that's what will happen. It'll pop to pieces. It will unzip. And make sure there's enough lifeboats. Have a plan B. We're going to move on then. We'll take a short break with some music from CCR with It Came Out of the Sky. When we get back, what happened to BlackBerry? We'll have a chat about that in a few minutes. 0187898899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. We are on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.